Some days I like being on the air. Actually, I like being on the air every day. But man, some days I am just not ready to be a radio thing. I don't know.
It's better than being in the air, in the hail,
in
and
the air.
Wind.
Yeah,
and
I suppose if I had to pick, I would rather be on the air and unready than in the air and unready. Because one suggests I'm just going to sound bad. The other suggests that I am in imminent danger of death. Welcome to Ask an Atheist. I finally made that mistake.
Yes.
206-420-0997. Again, that's the voicemail line because I lied to you, listeners. I thought I'd have phones this week, and I didn't. Although I've got a good excuse. I've got a really good excuse.
What's that, Sam?
Barbarians at my phone server gate. There was a security flaw in one piece of software that I use for phones that people got into. Oops. Oh, well. I guess that happens. And so, how are you, Becky?
I'm great.
And Bob, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, it's been about a month since you were last on, I think.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the first time you're in the new digs.
Which yeah, it looks great.
Seem
Love
to be
it.
Enjoying. So I heard you went to a very interesting show this week.
Yeah, I went.
Show
I,
would probably I, be the right word, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I survived, so you didn't have to go. I went to the to the annual Christian Heritage Homeschooling Conference. If that's what it's called. It was yesterday and the day before, two mm-hmm. full days. Ken Ham was the keynote speaker. So
Ken Ham was in our midst and we didn't know.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So you guys are what, 2 degrees of freedom now?
Yeah.
From
so has
the hamster.
Has the beard lichen taken over his entire face at this point? Actually, no. Last time I saw it, it was looking a bit more beardy.
Actually, Ray Comfort, speaking of weird beards, he did a recent video. He looked like the Wolfman, seriously.
But... oh, dear.
Anyway,
well, yeah. That is sort of the look now, isn't it?
I guess. Yeah,
Ken hipster,
was...
hipster pastors?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that a habster?
Well, all right. What's popular? All right. Now look at what's popular about 3 years ago. That's what pastors are doing. At least that's been my understanding of hip young pastors is what was popular 3 years ago.
That does not explain Mark Driscoll's frosted tips. To his
Nothing
hair.
Explains Mark Driscoll. I'm sorry. So
I've been focusing on the scandals. I missed that. Just actually, funny thing about Mark Driscoll, I heard actually like a Christian podcast critiquing all the shenanigans of that place.
Oh, no kidding.
And they said, you know how at a warehouse they'll say, this facility has had X days since the last accident. They must have it at Mars Hill. X days since the last scandal. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah.
So I know why I would go to a Christian schooling, Fandango or whatever the heck that was called. Why were you there?
Just to experience it. It actually was fairly close. This was in Redmond, and
okay.
It's at Overlake Christian Church, which is gigantic. They had, I'm guessing, like 1,000 people. I mean, this was a big deal, and it was a interesting group. There were women with Mennonite hats on. My guess is that 10% of the women who could have been pregnant, just from an age standpoint, were.
Okay.
I talked with
Well, it's an education thing. I mean, it's going to be a population of people who are interested in teaching kids. It seems
well,
like...
it's homeschool.
Homeschooling.
Oh, right.
And lots of kids. I mean, yeah. I talked to one guy who had 11. He had 8 biological kids and 3 adopted kids. From my standpoint, 3 is getting a little bit big and 4 is, you know, kind of full house from my standpoint. I have 2 myself.
Okay, 1 seems almost too much for me.
They're a handful, yeah.
Yeah.
You see the 5-year-old holding the 2-year-old by the hand because mom has got her hands full and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of group. This is not the kind of people that I normally hang out with, so that was the reason I went.
Okay.
I had my... Flying Spaghetti Monster shirt the first day, and I had my Scarlet Letter A shirt the second day.
Was it recognized?
It was not, and I mean that's the balance. I'm there because the best thing is to interact with people. Yeah. You know, what is going on? Which direction is up for you guys? I mean, what do you think about schools that you hate them so much that you've got to pull your kids out? I mean, this is for mom, this is a lot of work. So I talked with several people, had some nice interactions. The highlight, I think, and this seemed like completely out of place, but that I guess it kind of made sense, was the gun lecture.
the gun lecture.
At the Christian homeschooling.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, we're talking homeschool Christian kids, so guns, I mean, it makes total sense, right? I mean, you know, man's got to protect his castle.
Well, firearm, you know, rifle training used to be in the public education curriculum, so I suppose on...
Interesting.
Yeah. That makes sense on some level.
I know in a summer camp experience, we had a little riflery range, and we did some amount of gun safety.
Yeah.
I did that for one summer and said, I don't really like loud noises.
If they're training gun safety, I whether or not they're going to use them, can't be bad.
There was a couple from Spokane who were leading this, and they said that God had put on their heart that they should do this. They should, you know, teach, especially women, about gun safety and how to, you know, handle guns and you know, how gun permits work and all this sort of thing. The thing that which they didn't talk about, and I didn't want to make too much of a scene to ask this, was out of 1,000 gun owners, what fraction do what they're supposed to do, which is some crazy maniac is coming in, is going to hurt you and you kill him.
Right.
That would be the good thing. Versus the kid gets it, the angry spouse gets it.
Yeah.
And bad stuff happens. I would have thought it would be...
You know, that's one thing, but for me, the frightening thing is you know, guns don't really have anything to do with atheism as far as I'm concerned. But what I'm... save for this. Somebody's showing up at a Christian convention... And shows up with their firearms and all their training manuals, and they walk up to you and they say, God said we might need these.
That's a little scary.
What?
It's a little alarming.
I'm sorry, are we in Waco? I missed that.
So this couple's on a busy street, you know, not out in the woods where, you know, if you scream, no one can hear you. So it seemed a little incongruous, but... Anyway, that was a sort of a weird highlight.
Yeah. So what did the hamster have to say?
He was hammering on this 6 days of creation thing.
Oh.
And you know, he's a young earth creationist. Creationist, again, means I reject evolution.
Yeah.
Young earth means I also reject the Big Bang. So
because there are creationist people that believe that evolution was guided by some divine, you know, divinity.
Most Christians.
I mean, I think a lot of people, that's how they meld. I know before, for a very long time, I sort of melded my ideas of God and my understanding of science as, oh, well, this is just the way that God makes things happen through scientific understanding.
Right.
When you look at some of, you know, the original writings in lots of religious traditions, things say, well, yes, things started a single point of light, and you say, oh, it's proof that they understood that the Big Bang happened.
It had a beginning, and who was
the beginner? These folks are not those folks. These folks are no way, no how. Everything is about 6,500 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Biblical literalism, right. And he's going on about, if you try to tweak it and say, well, it wasn't a day, it was an age. You know, when it says, you know, the first day, that means, you know, a million years, 10 million years.
Oh, it's the inherent the wind defense.
I loved that. In eighth grade, it says, yes, because he gets to this firm, you know, questioning, line of questioning, and he says, how could you tell whether it was a day if there was no sun and no moon at the time?
Right? it totally makes no
sense.
So yeah.
How long is a day when there's no sun?
And then, of course, you have the two creation stories. You've got the 6 days first. You've got the Garden of Eden second. In the Garden of Eden, he makes man first, and then he makes the animals and says, well, how about a hippopotamus as your companion? How about a dog? How about a wolverine?
Yeah.
Before he makes woman. In the first one, it's the other way around. He makes the animals first, and man is the culmination. So it's, I mean, even those two stories, just at a face value reading, don't even match up. So it's pretty crazy. But he was hammering that thing. You know, I think a lot of us had seen or at least heard of the Canham Bill Nye debate.
Yes. I never got around to watching it because I know what Bill Nye is going to say, and Bill Nye is a lot of fun on, you know, like when we were at the CFI summit, he was great there.
Right.
I don't know that I wanted to see him debate a brick wall. You know what I mean?
Engage with Ken Ham.
No, engage with Ken Ham, just in socially engage, or just try to talk to guy, or try to just to get through to him.
Right, right.
Rather than try to win points for a crowd. I would see that, but Ken Ham is there on a debate. He's in there, you know, he's bunkered down, he's ready to go, and so this is basically Ken Ham, or this is Bill Nye with facts, and Bill Nye, who says you can change his mind, talking to somebody who knows that in these debates, the last thing you can do is concede a point, whether or not a point was actually made. There's no reason I need to see that.
The one thing that I will say in a positive sense for Ken Ham at the debate was I was imagining he might sort of, you know, play a little fast and loose, and Bill Nye would have to say, well, now Ken, you're saying you're being a little bit understanding here, but at your website you say this sort of thing. Ken Ham was just holding the line. He was, you know, totally, you know, thumping the Bible. So to his credit, he was consistent.
Okay.
But, at least there's that.
Yeah. I do not see consistency as a virtue in this case.
I'm not so sure either, Sam. Now, did the people at this conference or did Ken Ham himself reference this Bill Nye debate? When you say we're all familiar with the Bill Nye-Ken Ham debate, were the folks there familiar with it?
Ken Ham did touch on it several times. It was definitely not a major part of it. What was a major part of his discussion was all the stuff he had to sell.
It's a homeschooling convention. This is where he makes his money.
You got to buy some stuff for junior, and
this
you
is
know.
Where he gets all Avon lady.
You need your textbook. You need your textbook companion,
worksheets.
Yeah, a lot of DVDs. Print stuff, DVDs, and of course, there's no internet links because the internet is bad. They might find out what Flying Spaghetti Monster actually means.
Can't let the internet into the house. But there was a very large vendor section. Ken Ham's group, Answers in Genesis, was the largest one there. Surprisingly, I mean, it seemed a little bit coarse from my standpoint.
Yeah,
but at the end, I watched Ken Ham probably three times. At the end of every one, she had this long discussion of, we have this book, we have this DVD series, we recommend this, we recommend that, and I'm just thinking, you know, is no one going to say, you know, okay, thank you, you know, get the hook out, okay, you've done your ad already twice.
So it's
like a Star Wars trailer, you know, buy all the toys. So. While we've got some weirdness going on here locally, weirdness is all around us. And when you talk about this homeschooling convention, I have this image in my head of what it looks like. And this image reminds me of a news story we have.
Oh, does it?
Yes. There is an artist who is under a blasphemy charge for a Pope painting. Gonna be a lot of popage. In this episode.
There is. Yeah. We're going to talk Pope a lot.
The Polish art collective, the Krasnals, are being taken to court, accused of blasphemy for its printing of Battle of Grunwald, the Ship of Fools, which features the head of a right-wing Catholic radio station portrayed as a pig and breastfeeding the late Pope John Paul II. Richard Nowak of the All-Poland Committee Against Sects and Violence, that's sects. And,
with a T.
Sierra, nice. Echo, Tango, Charlie, Sierra. Sects and Violence claims that the painting is outrageous and goes against all the norms of decency. The group describes the piece as little more than cartoons with a sense of humor in the genre of South Park.
No, it's just a little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor, like South Park, you know. Nothing indecent about
it. So you saw this painting, Becky, and you would not stop talking about it for
knowing
4 hours.
True. Yeah. Yes, all of that is true. The thing is, it's kind of like a Where's Waldo painting in that there's incredible detail and every character portrayed is doing something kind of curious enough to warrant its own spin-off series, right? So you have this sort of like Richard Scarry or Where's Waldo kind of painting with all these different characters. And Sam, knowing how much you just really love ridiculous propaganda and art and things like that and imagery, it was just so rich. It was too good to give up.
I saw it on your LCD screen askance. And the first thing I thought was that it was that painting I had as my desktop background for a million years.
Yes, it's a
which
really...
was Jesus arriving to hand the Constitution to the founding fathers and firefighters and teachers and, you know,
all the
here's
upstanding
Jesus,
citizens of America.
Here's Jesus and he's holding up the Constitution and he's got the Tree of Life shirt on and all of these people are bowing going, oh, and in the corner there are people cowering like teachers of biology. And congressmen.
As it should be.
And people who like books. And so I thought it was that. But then I took a closer look, and you pointed directly at...
It's like the inverse of that.
Yeah, the radio show host suckling a pope.
Yes.
Which is not a phrase I ever thought I'd say on the radio.
No. Sam, I think we'll know that you will have arrived when somebody paints... Never mind, I'm...
Don't get that started, okay? All right.
So, but the thing is, only is this the pope...
Somebody made a comment on furries in the radio show the very next week that somebody drew me as a puffin. I like that one.
I love the puffin.
Yeah, but...
Sam as a puffin was great.
You were about to go in a direction I do not. I'm a little afraid of.
True. Okay. So this Catholic Polish radio station owner basically is drawn not only as a pig, but he's a pig. pig, kind of pig carcass. He's like a sow that's breastfeeding, but he also has like half of his like arms, like legs cut off. Like there's maybe a bit of flank made out of him or something, okay. Or some pork chops. And yeah, and then you got the Pope underneath him.
Was Howard Stern eating the Catholic radio show host?
I don't know. How that weird would probably, is this going to get? That would probably just add to the whole richness of this thing.
Yeah.
It really
the barbecue sandwich.
It is. But the thing is that's the thing that seems blasphemous. But if you were to look at it and says it's outrageous, yes, I would agree. I would agree this painting is outrageous.
Art is occasionally outrageous.
It goes against all the norms of decency.
Yeah.
Great. Art can go against the norms of decency.
Yeah. Hey,
I mean, art tests boundaries. It tests social boundaries. And this is a collective that's radical and trying to use imagery to make a statement to say, hey, down with this baloney that we're not really cool with.
I think I wonder if they can bring it to the art museum here. I mean, art's in the news a lot lately because they want to repaint the Tacoma Dome with the Andy Warhol thing from the 80s because he suggested that they do that. You know, they paint it like a flower. I wonder if we could do that.
Tacoma Art Museum would be okay with.
Would they get? I should ask them if they would do that.
Possibly.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is here that, yes, it goes against decency, but it's art. And the thing is that you could have people that are anti-Polish Catholic hierarchy that could be doing so much worse than painting a kind of stupid painting.
Yeah. You know. So I guess how much of a madhouse was this homeschooling convention? I mean, without seeing the painting, maybe we'll bring it up in the break. But
yeah, it sounds like not quite as madhouse as this chopped up pig. But, so maybe I should consider myself lucky.
All right, I think that works. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to continue, I guess, talking about popes. I don't know.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Listen, listen, listen.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. I'm landing that okay, except today, because I'm tired or whatever. I'll go with whatever, I think. So joining us now is Dan. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great, Sam.
Fantastic. So I figured we'd start on something we all, you know, that sort of is an intersection between many things that we like to talk about. You know, Dan, you specifically, Bob, you were talking about education. The Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts of America have revoked the charter of Seattle Troop 98 because its sponsoring organization refused to remove gay scoutmaster Jeffy McGrath. The troop, located in the Rainier Beach neighborhood, serves diverse children, including immigrants, boys of low income, and boys with gay parents. Reverend Monica Corsaro, leader of the Methodist congregation that sponsors Troop 98, vowed to allow troop meetings to continue with McGrath in the lead, citing her church's inclusive religious principles. A BSA spokesman was reportedly saddened by the development. Saddened by the development. All right, you're a spokesperson for the BSA. What are you saddened by? Just saying I'm saddened by the development. Are you sad that you're a jerk? That would be nice.
She's sad about the news.
Yeah.
This is the kind of PR we don't like.
Yeah, geez. Oh, wow. My bigotry is on the news again? Wow, that makes me sad.
That's certainly frustrating. I'm kind of hoping that when he comes back, maybe he's going to get his marginalization merit badge or something.
This actually brings up the story from, I guess, about a year ago or so when the Boy Scouts were working on including gay members, gay boys in the troop. And the interesting thing about that I found, you know, really compelling was you've got, I think it's a quite a huge board, you know, 50 some industry leaders on the board of the national organization. And they were kind of saying, okay, you know, I run this company, I run that company, and we're still talking about gay folks. I mean, this is ancient news. I mean, come on, Boy Scouts, let's just get past this. So, I mean, I see there's a good reason to kind of rain on the Boy Scouts with this one incident, but there is some good news overall, I think.
I think so, too.
Also, their cookies are just disappointing.
Do they have... are their cookies those weird macaroni art projects that they make? Is that what those are?
That's Cub Scouts.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
They get Swiss Army cookies. You'd be amazed how many flavors they
get. You can kind of tell how far I got in scouting.
Right. I was a Weebelo for like a day. And, no, seriously, I was. I was a Weebelo for like a day. And then towards the end of this meeting, I was there with a friend. They said, so, you know, do you accept all the terms and will you say the oath and all this? And they asked me to say an oath that I didn't sort of agree with.
So at the time, what was the part that you disagreed with?
That's interesting. Yeah.
The part that I disagreed with was basically sort of the idea that you would be ultimately committed to good. And and while that's my current motivation, you know, I think I was about 11 or 12 at the time.
Well, they're not very good at this oath, are they, under the circumstances?
What if Satan makes you a better offer? You know, you gotta...
Yeah, right?
You want to preclude that.
Actually, I think maybe I just didn't like the uniforms. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there's several groups out there, who are trying to get around this. I don't know why the Boy Scouts of America are so committed to this. My
guess is that they see a backlash, and they got a bit of a backlash last time.
They did.
And then, of course, the people saying, oh, yeah, well, if you do that, we're going to have the non-Boy Scouts of America that's going to be, you know, we're the homophobes or whatever. And I suppose they've tried that. I've heard very little from that. So I think maybe with another few years, the Boy Scouts of America will take courage.
Here's the thing. You have two populations of people. One who wants to be included, who wants to be a part of society, who just wants to, you know, this person just wants to, in this context, just wants to lead a Boy Scout troop.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's the church that they're in a church, and that church is okay with it. Right. And they're everybody's, and it's a diverse group, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and everybody seems to be having a good time, and they're still meeting there. The other side of that are people who make hate their stock in trade when it comes to interacting with other people, and even beyond that, have a tendency to make their own little groups, because whatever group you're doing just isn't quite Christian enough. You aren't licking the Bible quite enough for their liking, so they're going to make their own group. I've seen their websites. It's been years since I was on the website, but there was this one webpage I went to that was like an index of weird websites, and they had the Christian alternative to Cub Scouts, and the name escapes me, but I imagine somebody out there might have been a part of this. And I went to their website, and there's like God and scouting, and has really bad flash opening, and then an eagle comes out and poops out the logo of their scouting. It makes that stock eagle noise, that rear, you know, screech.
And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but just as a biologist, the stock eagle noise drives me up the wall.
What is that?
Okay, so
isn't that a hawk?
Yes, Americans seem to think that bald eagles make this cool sound. They don't. They make these chirpy little sort of sissy sounding noises, a lot like a baby seagull. That's the call of a bald eagle. But whenever they show a bald eagle on TV, or they use it for a logo or something, even on the Colbert Report, which you'd think they might, you know, do differently, they show the eagle and it's flying in and it's screaming, and the scream that they're using is actually a red-tailed hawk.
Oh.
Red-tailed hawks make that sound for real. Bald eagles don't. Never.
Yeah. Your red-tailed hawk screech, by the way, sounds a lot like the Wilhelm scream.
Thank you.
Well, it's like my cat, Mr. Adventure, who is now gracing the Facebook page for Ask an Atheist. He's got a Mike Tyson voice. He's this enormous 19-pound cat. You know, he looks like a very small puppy. Doesn't act like one. But when he meows, it's this really... I mean, but
I wonder if he's saying, you know, crazy Mike Tyson stuff in cat language.
I will tear out his heart. I will eat his children.
Haven't I heard that that peacocks are actually pretty scary when they do? They have a, you know, murdered person kind of call.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, they sound very pretty, and actually, very pretty, and so on. But
not that long ago, one of our local zoos here had to get rid of their peacocks because a kid was chasing the peacock with a stick. And the peacock turned around and bit this child's finger clean off.
Nice. Just,
so
I think it was a learning opportunity all around.
So peacocks are jerks then. Yeah.
So the zoo nearest to our current location no longer has peacocks.
Oh, wow. And a child near our location
no longer has a finger.
He could work in the Japanese mafia.
Okay.
All right.
9.5 fingers, right?
Oh, and you get a cool peacock tattoo in the mafia style, the Yakuza style.
If I could just add one more thing about the Boy Scouts, the real problem here, seems to me, is not that the leader is gay, but he is out. So
yeah.
If he hadn't been out, hey, problem solved. Not a problem.
Well, is that what they want, though? I mean,
that seems to be what
I've
they're
never
pushing
seen,
for.
I've never seen any of these people who don't like gay people in charge of things ever say we preferred it when they're in the closet. Most of them want to say we would prefer to hit them with stones. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where this goes, isn't it? I've not met a Christian group of people who are against, you know, gay folks purely on the basis of their religion, where it doesn't end up on with some biblical punishment. I mean, if we're lucky, it goes to tortured in hell forever.
Right.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah, if we're
forever.
Not lucky, they want to throw stones at people until they die. I mean, nah.
In all fairness, that's, you know, I mean, that's how they feel about us, too.
It's... Well, of course, yeah, but I'm okay with that. I mean, I kind of own that. But for me, it's like, yeah, I'll roll with that. Go ahead and throw a stone at me.
But that's very noble. You want to defend them. That's,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I want to defend them, and I did sort of take this job.
Right, of course, yes.
where I'm a radio show host for an atheist radio show, I'm expecting some...
You can take the slings and arrows. Yes.
Yeah, I was going there, and wow. where this guy just wants to lead a troop of Boy Scouts. You know, he's not trying to be controversial. He's not going on the air every Sunday and saying jerky things. He wants to help people with macrame. He wants to make wallets and do Pinewood Derby or whatever. Why does this matter so much? I don't get it.
All of those things sound like perfectly fine pastimes to me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with macrame wallet making or Pinewood Derbies. It's
what does BK have to do with any of that?
I don't know. I really don't.
I guess they're in their fevered imagination. They're worried about, you know, they're out in the woods and nobody can see them or something.
This sticks in my craw a little bit, as you might imagine. Speaking of things that stick in craws, time and religion tend to sow doubt in science. Big surprise. An AP survey found that when it comes to acceptance of scientific understanding, Americans express bigger doubts as concepts get farther from their own experiences of the present time. A strong majority agreed that smoking causes cancer and that our cells contain genetic code. Around 85% don't doubt the safety and efficacy of vaccines.
Ugh. That is not a big enough number.
No, it is not. However, 40% doubt or disbelieve in human-caused climate change, that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, or that life evolved via natural selection. 51% doubt the Big Bang theory. Political and religious values correlated to beliefs, with Republicans and highly religious individuals more likely to express great doubts in scientific concepts. 51% doubt the Big Bang theory. In 2014... Are we sure they're talking about the physics? Are they sure that they're talking about the scientific theory of the Big Bang, not
the TV show?
The TV show, because I certainly doubt the Big Bang theory when we're talking about that TV show. But the scientific stuff, I mean, as much as I'm capable of doubting or agreeing or disagreeing with something that I'm incredibly unschooled on, it seems pretty plausible.
I think part of the problem here is sort of a failure in our science curriculum, and you can speculate on all of the causes, whether those are political or religious or societal or whatever. But you should always doubt the science, of course,
right?
But you should be familiar with the testing that has gone on in advance. We don't need to doubt that gravity is a real thing.
Sure.
Just like we don't need to doubt that evolution is a real thing. In fact, a lot of our biotechnology relies directly on evolution.
Yeah.
And without the theory of evolution, biology makes no sense whatsoever.
We sort of have a failure of language here when we say doubt. I mean, there's when they're saying doubt, a lot of these people are saying, I doubt it because, you know, the Bible doesn't say it, therefore I don't believe it. And then there's doubt where there are aspects to this theory with which I disagree, or I've looked at the research, or I, you know, the English language, just as far as, you know, as far as trying to speak concisely, just falls on its face here. I mean,
so are you wondering about the 40% if what was going on in people's heads, if they actually were answering a different question,
perhaps? Well, speaking of doubt, I used to completely buy these. Like, if somebody comes out with a study that says 76% of Americans think that pudding is mined or something like that. And
wait, it's not?
No. You know, there's always a little light that goes on in the back of my head where I go, people are joking with the guys. You know, they're straight facing it. I mean, Mike did survey stuff. I did some survey stuff as well. There are stupid people out there, but I'll be honest with you. You get the one time a year I'm walking through a mall, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, do you believe we landed on the moon?" A little part of me goes, no, we landed on Venus. It was cheaper. I have to admit that after a while, with the wealth of information, and I admit my optimism comes out a little bit here, in the land that we live in now, where information is basically at hand all the time,
can it be as bad as this?
Can it be that bad? When we get to vaccines, though, I mean, that's a controversy. 85%, and to be honest with you, I would expect a number lower than 85%.
Yeah, it could have been. Just to be a little bit more pessimistic than that, the number we're reading here, 40% doubt or disbelieve in life from evolving through natural selection.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that 60% accept evolution.
Right.
It means that of the remaining 60%, some said, I don't know, or, you know, had no opinion.
Yeah.
And some much smaller fraction accepted evolution.
There's a talk I give about the religious nuns where, like, most of them, I can barely remember these numbers, but, like, most of them believe in some form of evolution, but only, like, 33% believe in natural selection. So even among people who don't believe in God in America, natural selection is only understood or believed by a minority of the population.
And I would say that that's partially a failure on just knowing how to research and how to learn and how to understand, or maybe even just the motivation to do so. I recognize that there are not a whole lot of people out there that are like me in the respect of, you know, you find something that's interesting and you dig into it for 4 days and read every journal article that's ever been written just to complete your knowledge.
That's the thing. My credentials, I think, for talking about atheism, being on the radio show and doing this stuff like this, apparently just is I like to read, because I do. I voraciously read stuff, and not because I want to know things. Well, I do, but I just really enjoy the act of reading. I just finished reading the Left Behind novels for the second time because I wanted
the entire series.
The first 12 books.
See, wow. That's awesome. Wonderful control. That's
yeah. Well, the fun. Oh, if you want an interesting control, immediately after that, it's like, okay, I have to read something I liked. So I started the last two books of the Hyperion Cantos by Dan Simmons, Endymion, Rise of Endymion. I'm in the middle of Rise of Endymion right now for like the ninth time. And it was interesting to see how psychologically I changed when I went from reading the Christian version of Hardy Boys or Mac Bolan novels to really some of the best science fiction made in the last 30 years. And my reading speed halved. And I became a lot less aware of my environment. Like, because I started visualizing more than, because the Left Behind novels is a Buck felt bad. He went to a place to eat fries. and then Jesus made it rain rocks that are made out of ham. I mean, it's almost it's a very straightforward writing style. That guy's name? Old Man and the Sea Guy.
Hemingway.
Yeah, Hemingway. Very Hemingway.
I wonder how it became so popular. I mean, I guess it just touched a religious nerve.
Well, I think a religious Mac Bolan novel, I think, is where it is. Because stuff does happen in those novels. There are explosions.
Right.
God and Jesus are characters. And honestly, they're real jerks in these novels. any moral way, they spend so much time describing, you know, basically making excuses for how these books are 20 years old now, but they spend so much time trying to come up with reasons why God does this and making excuses for their strange theology. And God still comes, and he in this book, comes across as a real jerk. And it's not even the theology of most Christians. So I can actually get into the theological end of that there.
I would say just one thing about this poll. Speaking of controls, like the Left Behind books that you're reading, I don't see any mention of control questions in here where they're saying, you know, 40% doubt or disbelieve in you know, the Earth being 4.5 billion years old, or that life evolved via natural selection. But I don't see where they're mentioning the alternative question where they're saying, you know, so what's the percentage then that have no doubt that things were created in their present forms or whatnot? If you're not asking questions about, you know, the flood and that, we can't necessarily say that this is directly related to.
There are problems with getting that kind of data out of people, in that these are people who are taking time out of their day to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Generally don't want to talk to you for whatever reason. So if you start asking a lot of redundant sounding questions, or you start asking a lot of questions that are like really silly, like is today Sunday and stuff like that, you're going to lose them, and then you're going to not have that data. And most people, if you only have a partial questionnaire, they just throw that data out and your time is wasted.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand there's not a lot of control questions, but adding control questions to you know, studies like this where you're asking questionnaires of the population is a real, real negotiation.
Just the results may come out a little bit polarized.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, a moment of science.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997.
You got it right this time, Sam.
Oh, geez. Everybody off my back. Yeah, that is our voicemail number. I promised we'd have phones today, and we don't because I'm a huge jerk. But I'm thinking, like, a lot of the stuff that I'm writing, I might actually release as an open source thing. Because I can't imagine I'm the only person doing radio who couldn't use something like that. I have a correction, in fact.
Speaking of people on your back, right?
Yeah. Last week, we responded to a listener who asked if we thought the world was going to end. We responded to the affirmative, but not by supernatural means, of course. Somebody mentioned that the sun was going to go supernova or something like that. Was it me or Mike?
I don't know. It was one of you guys.
Yeah. To be honest, I know that. I don't know why I caught that and didn't correct it, but we're a main sequence star. I don't think main sequence stars go nova.
That's correct. They do not.
Yeah, and so what we're going to get is the fun hyper expansion stuff where the Earth gets baked. Listener Kilgore notes that within the next 500 to 600 million years from now, the sun will become too hot for any form of life to exist on Earth. Bummer. Two things. I have two corrections of your corrections. Any form of life.
Any form of existence.
That's rather pessimistic.
Yeah, 600 million years. We could probably, if it happens slowly enough, maybe things might evolve and we end up with like lead-coated amoeba, which would be kind of
plausible. There have been metallic cells created in the lab. Now, they're not self-replicating, but they're a cell.
And the other one is I challenge that the Earth isn't going to go nova. I mean, this is a star with people around it.
it's been.
We could break the sun. Oh. I mean, that is entirely possible.
You're talking sort of a Star Wars expanded universe sun crusher hypothesis
well,
here.
Well, I am reading Hyperion. I mean, one of the major plot points of that is that that they broke the Earth. I mean,
in your wonderful foray into bad literature, you didn't also happen to watch the movie The Core, right? Where we break the Earth.
Right. No, the Earth disappears. Somebody stole the Earth. Which is a lot more plausible in this story than you think.
You've been mind freaked.
Yeah. Please no. but it's entirely possible that we're like, you know, doing something. Ah, the sun isn't quite the right shade of yellow this week. So we're going to adjust the color of the sun by doping it with blah, blah, blah. Oops, we broke it. It's going to go nova. I completely believe that's possible because I'm a humanist and an optimist. But I also think we're occasionally jerks. So.
And a little bit stupid.
Would be so cool to have a sun like one of those hot tub LEDs where you have the little remote and you can just change the color.
will it play
music
too?
Set it on like rainbow.
I want
fade,
a plaid,
you know?
Button. Yeah. Can we have plaid sunlight?
Will it pulsate to music?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Wow, who gets to choose the sun's playlist?
I don't know.
There's a story in there. I'm sorry, I have a short story in mind. But speaking of humanists and being optimists and occasionally a jerk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in science that we don't quite understand.
Plenty.
That I don't quite understand, if I'm being honest. And to help me out with that, Dan has a moment of science this week.
I certainly do. Today, I want to talk about probability and the way that we fail to understand how the universe works.
See?
So I want to start with an easy one. If you were to flip a coin, the odds of it coming up heads or tails, assuming a balanced coin, will be 50-50. So let's flip that coin here. So it came up heads. That's not surprising, since the probability of it happening that way was 1-1. But let's see what happens if we flip again. I got heads again. The odds of getting heads twice in a row are only 25%. That's 50% of 50%. But let's flip one more time. I got heads again. These odds are starting to get pretty interesting. There was only a 12.5% chance of getting heads three times consecutively. So if we flip the coin one more time, what do you think the odds will be that I'll get tails? As it turns out, the odds are still going to be 50%. The coin doesn't know or care about the history of the last few flips, so there's no physical reason that I'm due to get tails or on a roll and bound to get heads again. But wait, why is my gut telling me otherwise? Well, what I'm experiencing is called the gambler's fallacy, or conversely, the hot hand fallacy, and they seem to occur in the insula of the brain. The insula has many functions, but among them are selective attention and anxiety. After a loss, the insula seems to cause the unreliable feeling that we should raise our bet because we're due for a win, or after a win that we should continue to play because we've got a hot hand. But that simply isn't true. The odds don't change, regardless of the history of our wins and losses. Current research has found that patients with insular lesions, actual damage to the insula of their brain, they didn't experience the gambler's fallacy during clinical trials, and that just might provide some much-needed insight for treating people who are suffering from chronic gambling addictions. So let's look at another one. Let's say I am offering you $10 today, but if you can wait until tomorrow, I'll make it $10.50. Most people will take the 10 today, despite that tomorrow's reward is 5% higher. In fact, in many cases, people would rather have $10 today than even $20 tomorrow. However, if that 20 bucks is coming a year from now, most people will happily wait an extra day for an extra 50 cents. But why? Why is it that waiting one day for a 5% increase is unacceptable, but a year from now, waiting an extra day for a small increase isn't so bad? This seems strange, doesn't it? So why would we be susceptible to such incredibly poor reasoning in the short term? Well, this effect is called hyperbolic discounting, and it's a very active field of research that applies to finances, addiction, obesity, drunk driving, and even global warming. Long story short, we have a very hard time understanding that the future versions of ourselves are the same people as the present versions, and that it's still going to be us that has to deal with the future results of our poor choices today. The last example of irrational thinking I want to talk about today is called the escalation of commitment. And this is really one of my favorite ones as a part-time boat owner, part-time car owner, all of the above. Let's say you've lost hundreds of dollars fixing up your car, which continues to break down regularly. If you sell the car now, you might feel that you're giving up or that because you've invested so much in it, you'll be losing that money if you sell it. But the fact of the matter is that the money has already been lost, and hanging on to an unreliable investment only ensures the loss of even more money in the future. This is something that's definitely worth considering when we look at the tremendous costs of environmental damage versus the small but present costs of investing in sustainable technologies, and perhaps even the operating costs of certain creationist theme parks. There's just no rational reason to continue to invest in a strategy that isn't working. So, to sum it all up, we have been very fortunate in the last dozen or so millennia that we haven't had a major climatic event. But that doesn't mean that we won't. The long-term rewards of investing in sustainable technologies vastly outweigh the short-term rewards of continuing to exploit natural resources until they're gone. And the way of life that we have become so invested in isn't working. We're losing fast, and we need to try something new.
I entirely agree on that one. Is it the way of life, or is it the technological underpinnings of that way of life? I mean, if you can change the underpinnings,
sure,
to something
sure.
else.
I think that would qualify as the trying something new.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, new is, it's not the new thing that I disagree
right.
with. Yeah. No. That I'm with you there. The science there is fairly clear. But it was a conversation I had a long time ago with somebody who was, anthropogenic climate change is a joke. I'm going to hang out on What's Up With That and read the whole blog to you. Where he's like, well, why do you want everybody to be driving these, tiny jelly bean cars? And I said, no, I don't want everybody driving jelly bean cars. I want you to have your SUVs. I just want them to be powered off something other than gas, something sustainable. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that every aspect of life has to change because the way we're doing it right now is stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. And even going on the sort of electric car thing, I mean, even if you're really into, muscle cars and high speeds and that, electric motors are more efficient transfers of energy by far than any internal combustion engine. So, I mean, if you want a car that goes from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, you're going to do that with electric.
This goes into the other thing I was going to talk about the moment of science, which is the why keep dumping money into something that you've already spent money on.
Yeah.
Because it's my hobby. I mean, that's there's a lot of technology out there that I've spent money on. For example, before it disappeared, I was doing an electric conversion on a Porsche 914. It was going to cost way more money than actually just going out and buying a Porsche 914. I spent a lot of money on stuff that it ultimately didn't work. But I was doing it because I believed in it, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to have basically a sports golf cart.
Yeah, you were doing it to try something new.
Yeah, yeah. And so just, I think we should be making strategic decisions when strategic decisions are necessary based off of stuff like that. But if you're just, joking around or doing something because you love it, just recognize that when you're spending sending good money after bad, you're not doing it to save the bad money. You're doing it because it's a thing that you want to do.
Of course, yeah. Like as I mentioned, owning a boat in the previous or being owner of a boat
owner, yeah,
yeah. In sort of maritime communities, we joke that a boat is a hole in the water that you're perpetually trying to fill with money.
Boating is the one form of transportation I've never really paid much attention to, mainly because I've never lived near water. I mean, Lake Michigan, but not very close to Lake Michigan. And then I lived in Arizona. Now I live here where there are boats, and boats are compelling.
Eventually, I just kind of got frustrated with all the maintenance problems of a powered craft and decided that kayaks and canoes are the way to go, which is what I usually use.
Okay,
now.
The only time I've heard you using it, I've only talked to you about using a kayak. It was on ice. It was on, actually, it was on
sledding
a road.
Down a hill.
Yeah.
That may have been a terrible idea, but I will say it was a lot of fun. I don't condone it.
You
but,
don't.
But the picture actually made the front page of MemeBase.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
So what makes you say that you don't condone it?
You really don't have any sort of control going down a hill in a kayak. They aren't meant to grip the hillside like skis or a snowboard.
What if you put like ice skates on your paddles?
There would still be a braking issue, and that was probably the
the most interesting part. I mean, I managed to keep the kayak in the middle of the road, but when I get to the bottom and there's all these kids with their sleds and I realize that I can't stop and I'm shouting, get out of the way, get out of the way. And there's kids running from a kayak barreling down the street at 30 miles per hour.
But much like the studio that we're in right now, as a proof of concept, I think it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. It was certainly faster than the snowboards.
Yeah. So we do have a couple announcements. So Ask an Atheist is presenting Jeremy Whitman talking Delivered from Dogma. It's going to be about his transition from a fundamentalist upbringing to the life of a freethinker. The date has been changed to Wednesday, May 21st at 7:30 p.m. Please come support Ask an Atheist at the Highline in Capitol Hill up in Seattle. We're going to have a link up later this week to buy tickets. It'll be $15 at the door or online. Every dollar you go to supports Ask an Atheist, much like Peggy from Kent, Ronnie from Denmark, and Jeff from Seattle, who writes, so I just read the transcript of Sarah Palin's speech at the NRA convention. When I read things like waterboarding is how we'd baptize terrorists, all I can think of is, wow, we dodged a bullet in 2008. If you want me to read your little sentence, don't give me that. What?
I want to know. If waterboarding is how we'd baptize terrorists, what would they technically be then after the baptism?
You can still be terroristic even if you are baptized.
Is that how you become a terrorist?
I have no idea.
Compels you? Waterboarding? I mean, is that how that works?
It would certainly make me mad.
I don't know why I said little there. That makes it sound jerky.
I also don't think that that's generally how baptisms work in most denominations.
Yeah. I don't.
It's even worse with sacramental oil. I mean, it's all over the cloth. And then what do you do with it?
Oh, dear.
You guys are all in territories I don't know anything about. And so I'm just going to finish this. If you'd like to help out, if you like what you're hearing, I don't know why, but if you would like to hear more of it, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button, it'll take you right to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give to the show goes directly towards show production. I don't get paid. Oh, man. So we're getting really close to the top of the hour. Public school adopts Bible curriculum. The Mustang School Board outside Oklahoma City has adopted a Bible curriculum after being assured that the intent is not to proselytize.
The intent.
Naturally.
A course of study promoted by Hobby Lobby President Steve Green was billed as a way to teach archaeology, history, and arts, through Bible stories. However, lessons also tell students that God is always there in times of trouble and that sinners must suffer the consequences of disobeying God's rules. Green's stated goals for a high school curriculum are to show that the Bible is true and that it's good and its impact, whether upon our government, education, science, art, literature, family, etc., etc., when we apply it to our lives and all aspects of our life, that has been good.
Oh, Steve Green.
Show me the research, please.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You know, the kicker for this for me as an educator, the superintendent of Mustang Schools said, well, you know what? The school board wouldn't have adopted it if it had been something that proselytized a particular religion.
If the president does it, it's not against the law.
Yeah, that's really what it was. And, you know, Mustang is something right outside Oklahoma City, which is where Hobby Lobby is located. It's a testing ground for this kind of thing. He's wanted to say, hey, you know what? This, by 2017, will be in thousands of schools across the country.
Yeah,
Blah.
But that's all the time we have for today. My name is Sam. With me was Dan, Becky, and Bob. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Get our voicemail at 206-420-0997. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. We're going to be at Doyle's at 5. Haven't been there in a while. Should be a lot of fun. I'm all over the place today.
Thanks to Sharon and Nick.
Yeah, thanks to Sharon and Nick at the station. We will talk to you guys next week.